RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with...
Hey, it's me. It's Frank. And...
Beans. I like it when you switch it up a little.
Me too.
It's good. And again, I dropped one of my headphones in my coffee. And so I only hear you out of my left ear. So, yeah.
I got you in both.
Well, good. That's a plus.
And I only had a little bit of coffee. I opted for a nice glass of this farmer's market chocolate milk, which is actually a really good breakfast drink, to be honest.
You know what I used to love?
What?
Only occasionally, Yoo-hoo.
Yeah, you know what? When you bring that up, because I have so many great childhood memories of Yoo-hoo. And then maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, I was in a deli. I got myself a sandwich made up, and I said, you know, I'm going to get myself something out of the refrigerator. I said, you know what? I haven't had it in a long time. Yoo-hoo. Let me see if it still holds up. Tracy, it is brown water now.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I'm misremembering it.
No,
but it is. It was so I said, ugh. Oh, my God.
That's
a shame. Oh, awful.
You know, I used to always be made fun of because I used to have my cereal with chocolate milk, but I used to use Nestle's powdered Quick.
Okay.
It's so good. I love Nestle's Quick.
Quick is pretty good. I mean, I like it. The better the quality of the chocolate for a chocolate milk or hot chocolate, the better you can make you can use that drink in a number of ways. It is a really good post-workout drink.
Oh yeah,
if you don't have a really good protein shake, I always tell people, get yourself a good quality like Ghirardelli's or something like that. Get yourself a good quality chocolate milk or something like that, and especially after a nice strenuous workout, you got the protein from the milk that's going to be able to help with the protein synthesis and the recovery of the muscles. Also, just replacing some of that glucose that you burned off during the workout. And of course, the darker the chocolate, the higher antioxidant count. And it's actually really good if you're not just drinking it all day, gallons of it all day, sitting on the couch watching Jerry Springer. It could actually really be a helpful drink.
Is Jerry Springer still on?
I believe so.
Wow.
I believe Maury is still doing his paternity tests, too.
You know, it's funny because they remind me of Joe Biden, except they can speak.
They would be. Yeah, Joe Biden is almost like a Jerry Springer, Maury Povich kind of a political figure, because it's like, I don't know. There's something so unfulfilling about those morning programs, because... Especially, they were very fun when I was in 5th, 6th, 7th grade, and I would stay home sick from school, or there was a snow day, and we knew, oh my God, we can watch the freak show in the mornings now. But once you get older, and you realize what those morning shows are really all about, and how it's a trap. You're in this hamster wheel. Of just nonsense. And then the bigger thing is when you see all the commercials during the commercial break. That's when I really started learning about demographics. If you look at all the commercials during the commercial breaks of Maury or Steve show or Jerry Springer, it is all injury attorneys. It's all online colleges. It's everything that caters to people who they know are home, who have either dropped out of school, they got to get back on top of their life, make something of yourself, or they're chronically injured, or maybe they're not even injured. Maybe they just want some kind of an ambulance chase a lawyer out there to see if they can cook something up to make $10,000. I don't know. Just like when you watch the Golf Network and it's all, you know, erectile dysfunction. it's all Cialis. You put on the Golf Channel, it's like all Cialis and Viagra. And
well, so. I don't want to think about Biden with Viagra, but I will say, Frank, this is why what we're about to experience right now is why election integrity is like the very most important thing that's going on in the country right now, hands down, bar none. And I cannot wait separately until I get back into my house in my soundproof studio so I don't have to hear these dim, loud cars driving past every 5 seconds. I live facing, the back of the house now is facing a major roadway.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you can hear this.
Not really.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. I'm like, what the heck is even going on outside? But I've got a bunch of clips here of Joe Biden at the G7. And it's terrifying. It's not even comical. It is freaking terrifying.
But you know the thing about it, because I've seen a few of these, it's I feel like it's a group effort, whereas – when Donald Trump went to the G7 or whatever the hell it was, and people would find these still shots of Angela Merkel leaning over a table looking at Donald Trump. And of course, the internet had to go on out there and create this reality, this false
like
reality that
schooling him.
Angela Merkel stands up to a bully. and really, she was an ineffectual runt. I mean, she was the runt of the litter out there, completely ineffectual. He dragged Germany and the bullshit about NATO and getting most of their energy needs from Russia. He dragged the entire European Union. So there was no standing up. And meanwhile, now where they're trying to make a picture, say 1,000 words in these false fraudulent ways a couple of years ago, now you see people like Boris Johnson and all these other supposed world leaders that seem like they are part of Joe Biden's nursing home team.
Yeah,
like they're so badly trying to, you know, like rein him in and talk over him and just, you know, correct
it's
him.
It's embarrassing. Have you ever been in a room, in a meeting or something, with somebody who has no idea what the hell is going on and it's uncomfortable and you just try to rescue the person like that? And they're all talking amongst themselves. I mean, we're a laughing stock. It's dangerous. It's dangerous because this man here, we're going to listen to him because I can't even. This is 5 questions that he was able to hear. Listen to this.
Now, why don't I take some of your questions? And I'm told, Jonathan, I'm supposed to talk, recognize you first. I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacob Bloomberg.
Thank you, sir.
Steve Holland, Reuters. And Wall Street Journal, Andrew. Peter Alexander, NBC News.
I mean... it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. He's got a little card. It's probably color coded. For goodness sakes, this
well,
is supposed to be the leader of the free world.
Yeah. Well, didn't we actually see color coding at one point?
Yes, we did. He doesn't do press conferences anymore. And if I talk over you, it's because of these damn earphones. And I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry.
It's all right. Yeah. No. We've seen the color coding before.
Remember. Kaylee came out with her binder and her perfectly manicured, beautiful hands.
Yes.
And she would file through and she had an answer for everything and she was all organized. I will tell you right now, if there is ever an opportunity for me to be press secretary, I doubt this will ever happen. But if there ever is, I'm going to chew these people up and spit them out.
Yeah. Well, they like it. They're very, I don't know, they're very sadistic in that way. And masochistic. They love it. They love the dishing and they love pretending that they're, I don't know, they're being dominated and the struggle. They're very, very odd people. I can't stand it.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, who put out this compilation. He says here, Jill Biden, the one who doesn't have a security clearance and was doing all kinds of work on this stuff, said her husband studied for weeks before the G7, and this is the result.
We could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya. We should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. I think I'm going to try very much hard to. By the way, there's places where I shouldn't be starting off and negotiating in public here, but let me say it this way.
What?
Russia has engaged in activities which are, we believe, are contrary to international norms, but they have also bitten off some real problems they're going to have trouble chewing on. And, for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya.
This isn't even the right country.
They're there. And as long as they're there without the ability to bring about some order in the region, and you can't do that very well without providing for the basic economic needs of people. So I'm hopeful that we can find an accommodation that where we can save the lives of people.
What is even happening?
I don't know. I don't know. Anybody who says that they do know is just even more pathetic than this old doddering idiot is.
I've got another one. This one's the worst of them all. This one's the worst of them all.
God, what the hell?
This, and then there's the one where he growls at the reporter. Did you hear that one?
No.
120 days. 120 days. Here.
Who have just joined us. Been some pretty spectacular weather with them. Prime Minister Modi, President Ramaphosa, President Moon, in just a minute.
And the President of South Africa.
And the President of South Africa, as I said earlier.
Oh, you did.
I certainly did.
He's like an old man. I don't even know.
We're joined by Prime Minister Modi.
Let's go.
I don't know what the hell's happening. Well, were there subtitles? What was happening? Was that Boris Johnson?
Boris Johnson had introduced everyone around the table, including Modi.
Right.
And then Joe Biden, like literally right after, says, "And the president of South Africa." And Boris Johnson's like, yeah. And Biden's sitting there like with this blank stare on his face. Like, oh, you did? Like, it's insane. I got to find the Biden growls at reporter video. It's in the dark light chat. Right? This is absolute, like, talk about a threat to national security. I'm very upset about this, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that there are some legitimate threats on in there. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, how much of a threat is this? He's just a placemat. Everybody at that G7, for the most part, is just happy that there is a nice controllable placemat there. He may be a little bit embarrassing, but really, is he really a man? He's in a position of consequence, but it's a position in a country that is trying to be is in a process of being made irrelevant. Even no matter how embarrassing he is, he's so much more of a welcome presence there than Donald Trump was to these people.
I can't even imagine. Well, yeah, because he doesn't hold them accountable for anything, and they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Like here, I have it, but there's going to be an ad first because nobody can ever play anything just straight through without an ad. And we have a bunch of clips today, Frank, and I know you're on a very strict guideline for time, so that's fine. But I have a bunch of stuff, including stuff about farmers, more parents who are really standing up. You know who we are working to get on the show too? The teacher, Lilith from Loudoun, who was the one who said we're raising patriots, and she was like, basically, you know, she was cut off here. Is this it? No, this isn't it. I sat through that all for no reason. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. But he basically, the reporter says to him something like, you know, how do you answer or how do you defend whatever he was about to say? And Biden leads into the microphone. He goes, 120 days.
Well, that sounds great. I want to hear this.
I'm. You know what? It's worth taking a minute. It's worth taking a minute. Hold on. All right. Loading ad. Yeah, I have the clip here, and it's on, I don't know what outlet this is, The Express, that has the guts to actually say something about this. But he, 120 days. When was it? January 20th?
Yeah, I think so.
January 20th. January, February, March, April. Yeah, it's been 145 days, I believe. But I think. I could be wrong. And then I'm worse than Joe Biden, aren't I, Frank?
It's about that.
It's really bad. Really bad. Here we go.
Thank you all very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. The European allies. Can I ask a question about the European allies?
I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. Yeah, go ahead, but I pretend that you didn't answer you.
Why would you? Why'd you get in trouble? Said,
repeatedly that America is back.
Yes.
At the same time, you've kept in place some Trump-era steel and aluminum sanctions. And I wanted to ask you, when you're having these conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Oh. Need time.
Wow. I'm going to get in trouble if I take any questions. My staff will yell at me. My staff. Are you kidding me? Thank you. You hear the bitchy scrawl in the back. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you. No more questions.
Yeah, she's been working really hard. She actually works harder than he does. But yeah, that's 120 days. Give me a break.
Yeah, and then Trudeau, by the way, apparently says Kamala Harris will be president by the end of next year.
What?
Yeah, Trudeau. Jack Posobiec has it today. I'm gonna read it to you. Like, they're literally talking about this everywhere. Everywhere. All over the world. He says... He tweets too much. Way too much. He tweets way too much. Come on, mother effer. Because I see these things and then I'm like, you know, I got to bring this up. And then I text them to myself and they disappear. But he basically said this morning that world leaders are all saying it won't be long before he's gone. Like, just looking at his cognitive decline. Just looking at it.
Well, I mean, everything I've heard, and I've heard some things so far. But, you know, I'm getting a little bit more this morning. And this is... hell,
it's bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. And let's just switch topics a little bit. Did you see the sad incident that happened with that soccer star?
Yeah. They revived him though, right?
They did. They revived him, but they had to do like CPR on him and stuff. And he apparently, like, there was back and forth about the whether or not he got the COVID vaccine, and apparently he did. Their doctors had confirmed that 12 days earlier he had received the second dose of the Pfizer shot. He went into cardiac arrest on the field, just dropped to the ground. They had to basically restart his heart and give CPR, and we have not heard, or I have not heard, an update as of yet.
Yeah, I heard about the Pfizer shot. I heard that he had gotten it. First thing I was asking anybody who's conscious and honest with themselves is asking the same questions anytime things like this are happening. And you know what? I see so many people posting these stories about deaths in their family that are just not. There's no curiosity from the media. It has been completely verboten.
I'm going to say again, it is the absolute biggest crime, most horrible
forbidden,
crime.
Forbidden. I say forbidden. Forbidden to report on it or even ask the questions.
It's horrible. Yeah. There, I just saw this thing come across from Philly, by the way, that, oh, I found the Biden thing. We'll return to that in a second. That you can now be forced to, well, listen, here it is. Philadelphia, children ages 12 to 15 can consent to receive their own COVID-19 vaccination subject to the vaccine provider's determination that they can provide informed consent. This aligns with a long-standing city policy that gives children ages 11 and above the ability to consent for approved vaccines without approval or consent of a parent or guardian. On May 14th, the Board of Health ruled that this also applies to a vaccine with an FDA emergency use authorization. They are going to corral these 12-year-olds and say, hey, do you want to get the COVID shot? It'll protect you. And they don't need their parent to be there to give permission.
Yeah, just happens. And to do it on school grounds or something like that.
Yeah. I can't. About the Pfizer vaccine trials for ages 12 to 15, the vaccine approval was based upon clinical trials, 2,260 participants ages 12 to 15, that showed the vaccine was safe and effective. The trials began in 2020. They included participants who were Asian, Black, Hispanic, Latino, Native American, and white. The clinical trials showed a stronger response in children 12 to 15 than the 95% effectiveness reported in clinical trials in adults. And there was a meme that went around yesterday that I thought encapsulated this absolutely beautifully. It was in the Dark to Light Telegram room. It said this: imagine if there were a 99.7% chance you would not shit your pants, but you're forced to wear diapers just in case.
Yeah. That's the reason why I will never take this thing and never was going to. It's not because I have any special training in virology or immunology or anything else like that. It just, we know what the statistical reality of this situation is. We know where all of the question marks really are, especially from the onset and the origin stories. So with all the question marks still on out there and all of the facts that we already do have, why the response? The response itself is the most suspicious thing ever. And when you see governments, I know that the Canadian government has in effect labeled the unvaccinated as biological ticking time bombs. Mm-hmm. I think they said that the unvaccinated are a tinderbox. And you do not want to be categorized by any government on earth as a ticking time bomb, because government is nothing but a monopoly on force. And especially if government, even in their most limited capacity, is there to defend the homeland against any kind of, threat. To label people as ticking time bombs, tinder boxes, walking biological weapons that can be a threat to society, even if they do not intend to be. Holy hell! I mean, this is very scary. The dehumanization, and they're prepping for mass incarceration, if not murder. I've been saying it, and that's happening on a number of fronts.
It's absolutely horrible. Not only that, add to the fact that there are some doctors and nurses in Texas that sued their hospital because their hospital basically said, if you don't get this vaccination, you are a threat to those around you, and they invoked the Nuremberg.
The hospital won.
The judge dismissed the case. Actually excoriated the people that filed the case in the first place in Texas. So as all these people, like, again, the corporate pressure here from the government to do this, they went around it so that it wouldn't be, you know, government requiring. And they went after the private sector so that you will be forced to get this vaccine so you can work. It's horrible. So basically, yeah. Here's another thing. This is anecdotal completely. I do not know this woman. This is making the rounds. She used to be a nurse. She tells her a little bit of her story in the beginning. Now she runs a massive staffing company for oil and gas employees. But here is
About 8 years ago, I lost my baby during pregnancy, which is the reason that I actually left the healthcare field, because I was working with pregnant women, primarily reproduction and endocrinology. And I just found it was a little bit too difficult for me to provide quality of care, given my recent loss. So I went back into full-time working in the gas and oil and recruitment sector. And to this day, I am running a global gas and oil recruitment firm. And the reason that this is important is because of what I am seeing as an executive in this industry happening right now as a result of the COVID vaccines. And it's something called succession planning. And if you don't know what that is, look it up. But basically what it is companies need to plan for what's going to happen as their staff move on, rather they move up the line, they retire, so on and so forth. And succession planning is something that I help companies with professionally by offering them recruitment services. So they'll come to me and say, hey, we're going to need 100 guys to, you know, staff this rig, so on and so forth. And so we'll provide them that service. Well, what's really interesting, what's happening right now, and it's actually mortifying, not just interesting, is that executives are having their HR staff and their managers, superintendents, foremen, so on and so forth, go through and look at the staff that have received the vaccines. And they're planning to have to replace them all within the next 3 years. What does that say to you? This is something that's, you know, it's got some of these guys literally in tears as they're going through the company and literally checking off all of these individuals that have taken the vaccine, knowing that most likely in the next 3 years, they're going to have to plan to replace that person. What does that say to you? And yeah, this is a really big thing in the industry that I'm in. And a lot of talk going on around this at the moment.
So
I don't know what these guys know that makes them do this, or if they're just assuming, or if somebody, you know, somebody starts a rumor, hey, there's going to be a food shortage, and then everybody runs out and gets food.
Yeah.
Even though it was just a rumor.
Absolutely. I don't know. When I've seen some really bad, really, really bad forecasting on all this. Like I said, just my personal conversation I had with Dr. Tenpenny last week was enough for me to really, really reflect on what the hell may be in the works here and why, of course. Like, why? I think one of the things that Dr. Tenpenny said that I've heard repeated in one form or another, and is very, very true, it's like, why anybody would trust a substance that has been largely untested and never tried in human history until now in such a rushed and unnecessary way, especially from people who have stated time and time again the need to depopulate the earth. Why do you think that these people care about you? And obviously there's a compartmentalization aspect to that, because most people's doctors, family doctors that they've had for decades, do care about their patients, but there is some kind of there's dissemination coming down from supposed authoritative sources. Somebody along the way who started this game of telephone knows what the risks are. I mean, why is it? What did anybody? Maybe there's some kind of nuance that was lost to why Joe Biden had mentioned that we're going to have an unprecedented amount of people suffering from Alzheimer's or Alzheimer's care or something like that in the years to come. Is that just because populations are growing and therefore the people who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease will grow, or what is it? I don't really understand. Think that he thought that up on his own.
Yeah, it's the same reason why he said they're running the most sophisticated voter fraud operation in human history.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
I don't even know. And then there is this 2018 video that came out. This guy, Dr. Ralph Barrick. I don't know if you heard about this. But he's basically going through a presentation. He tells everybody How to Make Money from a Pandemic. The slides are titled Global Catastrophe, Opportunities Exist. Pandemics are times of opportunity, and invest in masks and companies that make antiviral drugs. Just the same way that we had some people before the lockdown that what was the stock issue that we experienced?
The AMC? Oh, wait, what do you mean?
Wasn't it before
the lockdown? You said before the lockdown?
Right in the middle, like right before everybody locked down, there was like a stock, like people were investigated for some trading in airlines or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it basically forecast insider trading. Pelosi, a few others, some Republican senators.
I know what you mean, and only as far as remembering it popping up and me doing some background work on how it's nothing new. Like with Pelosi, I remember you going back in time with Pelosi and the AT&T stock or some kind of telephone stock, how Congress had pretty much given themselves immunity against insider trading.
Yeah.
And there was a recent example of that. I know, and it's probably what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think there, you know, somebody will write in because I get emails all the time from good folks out there who are listening and remember things that I don't. But, you know, it's really, I know that we kind of pound the heck out of this topic, Frank, and we talk about it almost every show. And I'm telling you, I am that passionate about it. And I think that everybody out there is pretty passionate about it as well. But I mean, we have to keep this at the forefront, because the more information we can provide to people out there, the more they can talk to their family about this, because it is, I'm going to say it again, I feel like this is the single biggest crime against humanity on like a global scale ever perpetrated in history, ever.
But tens of millions. I mean, this, if any of the forecasting is even half as bad as they say it may be, then this is definitely would be the greatest biological disaster in our species history. And because it is all tied into human meddling, of course, it would be the greatest crime against humanity ever. No doubt about it. It would dwarf everything that came before it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard to say that, but it's seriously like, so we'll shift gears real quick here. There has been a woman farmer who is out on TikTok, basically, who's been screaming about this. And I've seen a whole bunch of different videos, but this one is like, she's like pleading here.
They're trying to keep me quiet. I need you guys to blow this up and stop scrolling. Repeat after me. Control the food supply. Control the people. This is what's happening. This is the truth. As a fourth generation farmer, I'm hearing cries across the United States. The Biden administration introduced the 30-30 bill, saying that it is a climate change bill, a conservation bill. But if you look deeper and if you really research what they're trying to do in Nebraska, it is disgusting. Why the hell does the government want 1.16 million acres in Nebraska? Because 97% of Nebraska is privately owned. So they're taking from farmers and ranchers and hardworking Americans. And by 2030, they want to take 680 million acres across the United States, kill family farms, control the food supply, control the people. Are you guys ready to stand up? Fight for agriculture. Look for those links, guys.
Hmm.
Yeah.
This is going on, and I know it is because, without mentioning any names, when I was at CPAC, I was approached by a group who had several whistleblowers that were supposedly ready to step forward and go on the record about, in government, by the way, about Bill Gates purchasing ridiculous amounts of farmland.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest owners of farmland now. And not only that, I mean, I'm going to be doing a lot on this tonight, but the BlackRock.
Yes.
Things like, I mean, companies like BlackRock, but that goes hand in hand with what people like Catherine Austin Fitz was uncovering during the second scam, parallel scam of our 2020 experience, and that was all of the firebombings and civil rights riots, supposedly, that were taking place along of these so-called opportunity zones in Federal Reserve districts and all that stuff. So whereas every crisis always has a bunch of people that swoop on in like vultures and make sure that they can gobble up parts of what used to be everyday real life for pennies on the dollar, the same thing has been happening now under the cover of hysteria and all that. And as I had a few people call on in very early on into 2020 and what was happening, I was told, Frank, this is an economic crisis. This is an economic play much more than it is a biological one. And as time had gone on, we realized, yes, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you have an old world, you have an order of people who have been able to control the world in so many different ways, especially financially, and bankrupt nations and overleverage currency and manipulate currency and everything. And their whole way of life, especially on a central banking angle, has gone. It's gone. It's completely outlived its usefulness. There needs to be a transition into something else. And usually there is a few ways that they can do this without having to take the blame and also stay in control of the new big scam, which would be digital currency, a true reining in of the openness of the internet, all that stuff. If you're going to escape the blame for destroying the old world and national and economic sovereignty, then you need one of a few things to happen. And the old way of doing things is to kick off a major conflict. And that didn't happen. So I believe that we got pandemic instead.
Well, they're also talking now, like, you know, they're removing some videos about this cyber pandemic, even though there are, you know, still obviously copies of this stuff and things on the record about the cyber pandemic conference that they're going to have. What's the name of it?
Cyber Polygon.
Say again?
Polygon.
Yeah.
Cyber Polygon. It's in July. We've been counting down, especially on my show, we've been counting down to this since last fall because they announced it last summer. I said, all right, well, there you go. There's the big one. There's the big one right there.
I am just, you know, I had lost all my emergency supplies that I had been accumulating in the fire. So I've been trying to spend all that money again, which has been really hard, to stock back up. Because that's an investment, you know. You make an investment in that over time. And you accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. So, you know, this is just sadly things that we need. They already gave us two test runs in a month. The gas and the food supply and the meat.
It's been much more than that. I've been collecting all the cyber attack articles. It's been much more than that. We got two major ones. And now they're talking more so about power grids.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of a power grid test over the winter with Texas, but that wasn't cyber attack related. It's been big.
You know, the thing that I keep saying about that, though, and I said it yesterday when I was on an interview because someone asked me about this, is that what they're going to do when they do this is they're going to cut off their ability to control the information flow. Completely cut it off. And you're going to have communities that band together as a force that create their own intelligence networks just by sheer necessity of how to get information. They're going to completely hyper-localize everything until they send in the national troops and whatever to keep order, right? But I think that there is some hesitancy because it is a catch-22 for them.
I don't know. As I've said, I don't think that any of the choices that they have left are good ones. But there seems to be something that they're – some kind of a deadline that they're working against. And there's something coming that they know – I think – I really do believe there's something coming that they cannot control. And it's really just a now or never thing. I don't have any answers on that. I've had – I've watched people try to explain that from pretty mundane standpoints. I've also seen people try to explain that from esoteric and occult standpoints. Looking glass, time travel standpoints, what the hell it is, where we're going toward, and why the decision making, especially the decision making, is so sloppy at this point. With Donald Trump out of the way, at least temporarily, it really has to be something that has to do, at least in part, with a quickening effect with everyday people.
Yeah.
I mean, there is more and more people. I saw polling where it's like 80% of Republicans and now 30 or 40% of Democrats believe that the election was fraudulent.
Which means it's double. It's, you know, it's more than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see that, and I'm not saying that this is just an election thing. I'm just talking about. I brought that up in context with the. This concept of a quickening and raising of consciousness and enlightenment, at least to how everybody's being played. I mean, there is nothing. When you look at BlackRock, that BlackRock situation, there is nothing about that. I mean, there are some solenterate type people who are just useless that will see that and go, "Huh, there's capitalism once again," not knowing that it's not capitalism. There's nothing about it. And of course, these are people that are all in line with this reset kind of a thing. What is this? What is going on here? Why are we losing farmland? Why are we losing housing opportunities? Why is the ability for people to actually live the American dream being taken away quicker and quicker when supposedly you guys are the only ones who are in charge? That you're what is it that you're not seeing? That we're all getting screwed by the same people? I don't know. And once again, I don't know what they're trying to avoid, but there's no decisions being made that seem to be very sound strategically. It's just a mad dash.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you on that. And, you know, the crazy thing is, too, I have been saying this for a long time. I remember when we first started the show, I was telling everybody who was frustrated about the pace of things and, you know, frustrated about, you know, enlightening other folks about what was going on and how some people were so stubborn, that we have been exponentially growing in terms of our awareness of what's going on around us from, you know, 20 years ago to now. Between 2015 and now 2021, the level of, you can call it consciousness, I suppose, expanding consciousness amongst the population, i.e. they are aware that they're being conned, they know that something's not right. And, you know, to be honest, all of the reasons why they know these things is because the, quote, powers that be have given reckless abandon to trying to conceal it anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been an exponential growth increase. And, you know, COVID did it to a lot of people. Then the vaccine has done it to a lot of people. The election integrity issues have done it to a lot of people. And that's just, you know, I'm talking just about the American people. This is happening all over the world. It's happening all over the world. And if you want to get super esoteric about things, you know, you can look at this for a long, long time. There have been, you know, indications that this is going to start happening. I mean, the whole Mayan thing was this.
Yeah.
The Age of Aquarius was this. I know that's not something we typically speak about on the program, but those are things that you can't really, you know, they exist, so you can talk about them. And it translates into people, and this is a really horrible, like, segue, but it translates into people like this mom. And I know this seems like a microcosm, but this is what people are doing now. They're not used to seeing us angry out there on the street, in their offices, in their faces. They are used to us going about our day, ignoring what the hell they're doing and letting them do whatever it is they do. And that's stopping here.
And she came to your school when she procures bids for ISU with construction and came to your school and spoke to your staff for two straight days. Why did she do that? This is why she did that. This is why she did that. To make sure that when our students want to know whether or not they have a vagina or a penis, they have pictures from your staff to be able to help them. They don't have enough sex. They don't have enough anal sex. They need adults to tell them how to masturbate. And what I call that is... So here's what I'm asking you. You have a hard time hearing this from me, but this is for 10 years old and up, and this bill was passed for 5-year-olds. And you have a hard time me sitting here telling you the words anal sex, masturbation. That's hard for you, or the time's up? Because the time's not really up. I don't believe you, Mr. Wiley, that my time is up. But I'm going to end with this. I'll close with this, because this was too much for you, I can tell right now. And that's why you're cutting me off. But last time I said, you know what? Critical race theory. Little girl in the back was laughing every single time Megan said something, because white people oppress black people, right? Isn't your principal black? Isn't your mayor black? Now, I would like to introduce to you Ty Smith.
The guy up there can't handle her talking about these things, but they're in a textbook for 5-year-olds.
Yep. Yep.
And
yes, indeed.
If they wanted to create racial tension, congratulations, people, because white folks all over the country and even black folks all over the country are stepping up against this, against critical race theory, against teaching our kids this morally degenerate crap.
I love it. No, I love the response.
Oh.
I more and more. No, it's getting more and more. Because it's a time of action, and I think that's part of what they're this quickening effect.
Yep.
So they know the more they push, the more it needs to be. They just need to go. They need to quickly move.
I just wonder, like, how do these people that are sitting up there on that dais live with themselves? How do they live with themselves knowing that they're responsible for this? How are doctors going to live with themselves after knowing that it's because of them that their patients are either seriously ill with autoimmune disease or goodness knows what else, or God forbid they die because they were recommended I think there will be eventually an uptick in suicide in the medical profession because of this, because I would never be able to live with myself if I was the reason that somebody did this.
Yeah. Well, you'd hope that there would be that reckoning. You would hope that there would be that reckoning and people realizing that they were part of something really, really ugly. Truly, truly ugly.
And you cannot at this point blame a lack of information, because there is more than enough information available for any medical professional to look at themselves, look at the information available, read through it, and say, should I really be recommending this to my patients?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, Tracy. I have to imagine there's a lot more people out there that will have their integrity take center stage. But there's another thing you got to realize that is so much more powerful. And it goes back to what we found out and confirmed years ago with the conducting of experiments like the Milgram experiment. That, I mean, there are higher authorities even for doctors. And you think about all the time that any doctor has spent in school, all the money a doctor has spent in school, the relationships they have built up with their colleagues, with laboratories, with their current, and not only that, but also the fact that every person that comes through their door as a patient is their own mutually exclusive political entity these days. I can tell you, as someone who worked in a mom and pop pharmacy all throughout high school and college, filling prescriptions and working, helping people in the pharmacy and just being around it for all those years. I know so much about people who have dumped doctors because they went in for a physical or something like that, and they weren't prescribed a new drug. That they believe that if they weren't being prescribed medications to manage something, that they were being neglected or something like that.
Yeah.
So you have no clue even how much doctors are just vassals for the corporate interest and for brainwashed individuals that you know, it's a business that they have to keep on up, and they want to maintain appearances and relationships. There's no reason why that drug companies should be advertising drugs on television, telling people, go ask your doctor about this.
That only happens here. Here from other countries, and they watch television, and they're like, holy crap.
It's sickening. And the thing about that is that you can be watching television for an hour. If you spent an hour watching TV in America, you will watch at least during the commercial breaks 5 or 6 drug commercials, and you won't see the same one twice for another couple of hours.
Right.
So, I mean, so you want to talk about where it all comes from. I mean, even doctors are beholden to higher authorities, both professionally and socially. So I'm not confused as to why this happens.
Just to end the show today, okay? This is what they've effectively done. This woman is vaccine injured. She's on television talking about it. And I want you to hear, just listen to this, and then we'll close out.
I wanted to talk about it responsibly. I don't want to discourage people from getting vaccines. And strangely, I don't really want to discourage them from getting this one.
Jennifer Gibson says she got the COVID vaccine because she wanted to see life in Canada get back to normal. But the Toronto woman wasn't prepared for what she saw when she looked in the mirror 2 weeks after getting her AstraZeneca shot.
In the morning, I was just looking and I thought, gosh, something is weird with my face. And I thought, whatever, I slept funny, no big deal. And by the end of the day, my husband, even, I was asking him, like, this is weird now. And even with kindness, he had to say, yes, it was.
A phone call.
Yeah, so she's just like, she's like, I don't want to discourage anybody from getting this vaccine because I want life to get back to normal, but my face is paralyzed.
Yeah.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val and drums and
Beans. You can hear me every us. I have a message coming through every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Wednesday, we will have Ned Ryan for a little bit on the show talking about his new book.
Tremendous. Later.